Welcome to episode number 31 of Calm History. This is a spotlight episode featuring the history of balloon flight. I'm Harris, and I created this time machine of tranquility to bring you the drama and excitement of history, but in a calm tone, so you can just chill and relax. Now, when I think of the history of human flight, I think of the Wright brothers, of course. They were the first humans to fly in 1903. But actually, they weren't. Humans have been flying above the Earth since 1783. And as you've guessed, those early flights were done with balloons. So yeah, it's balloons that are responsible for the first human flight, and also, unfortunately, the first aircraft disasters. Here are some questions I'll address in this episode. Is it true that one of the first uses of a balloon was for war purposes? What was the first animal to fly in a balloon? Was it a duck, a rooster, or a sheep? What are the key differences between a hot air balloon and a hydrogen gas balloon? What famous person proposed that prisoners should be the first test humans for a balloon flight? Is it true that a priest was the first person to fly in a balloon? What famous American attended most important balloon flights in Europe? How was a balloon involved in the first aircraft disaster in history? And I'll finish by telling you the technical difference between a balloon, a dirigible, and a blimp. If you'd like to become a Silk Plus member and get free access for a limited time to every bonus and archive episode of Calm History, along with 500 other episodes, then just use the link in the episode notes or go to silkpodcasts.com. Okay, time to lean back. Close your eyes and settle into my time machine of tranquility. I hope this episode distracts and relaxes your overactive brain squirrels. The history of balloon flight. The history of ballooning, both with hot air and hydrogen gas, spans many centuries. It includes many firsts, including the first human flight, the first flight across the English Channel, the first flight in North America, and unfortunately, the first aircraft-related disaster. Now, these first balloon flights were unmanned, or perhaps a better word is unoccupied. I considered using another word that meant without a pilot, but it sounded like Morse code. Listen to this. Unpiloted. Yeah, it just sounds ridiculous whenever I try to say it. So I'm just going to stick with the word unoccupied. These unoccupied balloons were first recorded in Chinese history around 220 AD. But don't visualize the gigantic hot air balloons of today. Rather, visualize those small paper lanterns with a candle inside that are sometimes launched at festive events. That is almost exactly what was created in China in 220 AD. Back then, the Chinese military used those flying lanterns for military signaling. Later, the Mongolian army would do the same. The Mongolians used these flying lanterns for signaling when they invaded Poland in 1241 AD. Now, the first documented use of a balloon by a European occurred in 1709 AD. This unoccupied balloon was launched by a priest in Portugal. He used hot air to lift a small balloon made of paper about 4 meters off the ground. The priest demonstrated this great achievement in front of King John V and the Portuguese court. He also claimed to have built a much larger balloon. This may have been the first balloon flight that was manned, occupied, or, dare I even attempt it, piloted. It's just not going to work. Anyway, he supposedly lifted himself from a castle that was in the capital of Portugal and landed about 1 kilometer away. However, the claim of this feat remains uncertain, even though there is some evidence of this flight. A description of his invention was published in 1709 in Vienna, and another one was found in the Vatican in 1917. However, most aviation historians don't recognize this potential achievement. Much more credible flights of hot air balloons were made later by the Montgolfier brothers in France. These brothers came from a family of paper manufacturers, and they had noticed ash rising in paper fires. If a little hot air could lift the ash, then perhaps a lot of hot air could lift a large balloon. In June of 1783, the Montgolfier brothers created and launched a hot air balloon. The balloon had a diameter of 35 feet, or 11 meters. They used an iron container filled with hot coals to create the hot air. This balloon launch didn't carry any living creatures, but the next one did. In September of that same year, the Montgolfier brothers launched a balloon that didn't just carry one animal. It didn't just carry two animals, but it carried 3 different animals. A duck, a rooster, and a sheep. I know that kind of sounds like they went around to local farmers and asked for animal donations. But there were specific reasons for including each one of those animals. The duck is a bird that normally flies at high altitudes, so it wasn't expected that it would be harmed by being aloft in a balloon. If the duck was injured, then that meant there was something wrong with the balloon, not with being at a high altitude. The rooster is a bird that doesn't fly far off the ground, so it was a test to see if being at a high altitude would be harmful to it. And sheep? Well, sheep clearly don't fly. So this was an important test to see if a non-flying mammal would be harmed by being high in a balloon. But why a sheep rather than a dog or a cat or even a squirrel? Well, a sheep was selected over other mammals because a lot of its physiology was known at that time to be more similar to human physiology than other common mammals. As a scientist myself, I have to say that I'm quite impressed by the thought that went into selecting these 3 test animals. Now, this balloon flight with those 3 test animals was performed before a crowd in France at the Royal Palace in Versailles. King Louis XVI and Queen Marie Antoinette were both in attendance. The flight lasted about 8 minutes and covered 2 miles, or 3 kilometers. It also obtained an altitude of about 1,500 feet, or 460 meters. The balloon landed safely, and yes, all the non-volunteer animals were unharmed. The king was quite pleased, and since the animals did survive, he gave the okay for some test flights with humans. This next balloon, intended for human flight, was about 23 meters, or 75 feet tall. This balloon was not only larger, but it was also much more decorated. It displayed gold figures on a deep blue background with golden eagles all around the base of the balloon. French symbols and signs of the zodiac added a lot of additional flair. The balloon also displayed the royal monogram, along with a bunch of suns. And inside the center of each sun was the face of Louis XVI. You may be wondering the same thing I did when I read that description. Why the heck did they stick the king's face inside those suns? But then I had this vague memory about some king in history being referred to as the Sun King. So I figured that Louis XVI must have been known as the Sun King. But when I looked it up, it turned out that it was Louis XIV who was known as the Sun King. So I don't know why they did it. Perhaps it was some form of pandering, or dare I say, bum kissing. Maybe they were trying to say, hey, you are just as great as that prior ruler, King Louis XIV, the Sun King. Which of course is just another way of saying, thank you for funding our balloon research. Please keep your money and support flowing. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Here is your summary, though, of what this historical balloon looked like. It was gold and blue, covered in eagles, French symbols, zodiac signs, monograms, and sunny faces of the king. Basically, this balloon looked like crazy wallpaper. And there's a good reason for that. The company who manufactured the balloon was a wallpaper company. So basically, they just wanted this balloon to look like a huge advertisement. Pretty smart, actually. I'll post an image of this crazy-looking balloon for my Soap Plus members, so you all can see it. Anyway, they finally got around to doing a test flight with a human in this excessively decorated balloon. But it didn't occur in front of a grand audience. Instead, one of the Montgolfier brothers did a test flight at their workshop on October 15, 1783, which was a smart thing to do. They wanted to make sure that everything was going to go smoothly before doing a public demonstration. So, this private test flight was probably the very first time a human was lifted off the ground by a balloon. Well, except for that priest guy 74 years earlier, but historians are less sure about his claim. Anyway, 4 days after the private test flight, the Montgolfier brothers did a public demonstration with 3 humans in a balloon. As you visualize these early balloon flights with humans, I want you to visualize it accurately. As you can imagine, the biggest risk was that the balloon would drift off with a human inside. So all of these early demonstrations were done with the balloon tethered to the ground so the balloon didn't drift off out of control. This included that first private flight and the first public demonstrations. So these historical moments of balloon flight are accurately referred to as tethered flights. And you can guess what the next big moment in air balloon history will be. Yeah, untethered flights with humans inside. Time to ramp up the danger. The first attempt was scheduled to occur about 1 month after that prior tethered balloon flight. Curiously, King Louis XVI, the pseudo-sun king, decided on his own who would be the occupants in this first untethered balloon flight. He decreed that condemned criminals would be the first pilots. Like me, though, you probably have some mixed emotions about this. On one hand, I can see his logic. The king understands the danger of this mission, so he thinks it's best to risk the life of a convict. On the other hand, that's pretty inhumane. Today we have laws against doing dangerous experiments with prisoners, or even any non-consenting individuals. Don't worry though, the Montgolfier brothers and others involved with the balloon launch come to the rescue of the convicts. They petition the king against using the convicts as these first test pilots. Now, here is my question to you. What was their motivation with this petition? As you can tell by my tone, it was not because they thought it was inhumane to use these convicts. Instead, they knew that these first pilots would be remembered forever in history, and probably mentioned on some future silly podcast. So they wanted to choose the pilots carefully for the current honor and future fame of this mission. Surprisingly, though, the Montgolfier brothers were not the first pilots. Rather, they chose a chemistry teacher and a soldier, which makes sense because the progress of these balloons will involve scientists and the military. So what did they call the individuals who flew in these balloons? They were called pilots, balloonists, or even the fun term, aeronauts. What the heck is an aeronaut? Well, you know the more recent term of astronaut, which literally means someone who navigates amongst the stars. The word astronaut that we use today was inspired by the earlier term of aeronaut. And as you can guess, an aeronaut meant someone who navigates in the air. Okay, enough fun word trivia. Back to the description of this historical balloon flight. The diameter of this historical balloon was about 50 feet, or 15 meters. The hot air used to lift the balloon was created by a fire in an iron basket that hung under the neck of the balloon. The people piloting the balloon could control the balloon's lift by adding more or less draw to the fire. Was there a risk that the balloon could catch fire? Yeah, you bet. It was made out of cotton, during the early development and testing of the balloon, they did notice that small sparks and embers from the fire often landed on the cotton material. And as you can expect, this resulted in many fires on the balloon. This is why the first two pilots of this historical balloon also carried water, a large sponge, and a pitchfork on their first flight. Whenever a mini fire started on the balloon, the pilots would need to stick a wet sponge on the pitchfork and dab at the fires. I wonder if they started to change their mind at this point about who would be the pilots. But they didn't. On November 21st, 1783, the first untethered and human-piloted balloon was launched. It rose about 3,000 feet, or 910 meters, above Paris, and then drifted for a distance of 5.6 miles, or 9 kilometers. At first, all went well, and then many fires started popping up on the balloon material. Initially, no big deal. They just dabbed those little fires out with their trusty sponge on a pitchfork technique. As they continued to float along, though, the fires started getting more numerous and bigger. The sponge fork trick wasn't working anymore. At one point, one of the pilots even took off his coat to beat out a fire so it didn't destroy the balloon. Worried for their safety, they stopped putting straw into the fire so they would land. After a total flight time of 25 minutes, the balloon landed outside the city limits between a couple of windmills. Except for that teensy-weensy fire issue, the flight really was a great success. Humans had completed the first untethered balloon ride in history. So what was the next mission? Well, go higher, fly longer, and let's toss in some passengers. About 2 months later, in January of 1784, the Montgolfier brothers launched their largest balloon. This balloon had a height of about 120 feet, or 36 meters, making it one of the largest hot air balloons ever flown, even to this day. The balloon had two pilots and five passengers. After only 13 minutes aloft, a prior tear in the balloon reopened, and the balloon plummeted into a meadow. The landing was quite rough, but all seven occupants survived. And these seven occupants all happened to be men. So what about the first woman passenger in an untethered hot air balloon? That occurred a few months later, in June of 1784. Her name was Elizabeth Thibble, and for this special occasion, she dressed up as the goddess Minerva. She also sang operatic duets with her male companion as they ascended. Yeah, I like this woman. She sounds fun. Okay, I'm now going to switch from hot air balloons, which use fire to make them rise, to balloons that use hydrogen gas to make them rise. Just like hot air balloons, you'll see that the first hydrogen gas balloons were also launched in 1783. The creation of the very first hydrogen gas balloon was overseen by Jacques Charles. He designed the balloon, and two French brothers, the Robert brothers constructed the lightweight, airtight bag that would be used for the balloon material. To create this balloon, the brothers dissolved rubber in a solution of turpentine and then used that to coat sheets of silk, which were stitched together. To give it some visual appeal, they used alternating strips of red and white silk. But the white silk didn't stay very white. It was turned yellow by the rubber varnish coating that they'd added. Yeah, so overall, this balloon wasn't as pretty as that prior fancy wallpaper balloon. Anyway, on August 23rd, 1783, Charles and the Robert brothers began filling the world's first hydrogen balloon in Paris. The advantage of hydrogen gas over hot air is that you don't need to have a fire in the balloon with you. Furthermore, you don't even need to actively add hydrogen to the balloon during the flight. Instead, the hydrogen gas is created right before launch time at the launch site, and then it's pumped into the balloon. But this process is pretty complicated. To create the hydrogen gas for that flight, about a quarter of a ton of sulfuric acid was poured onto half a ton of scrap iron. This resulted in the immediate production of hot hydrogen gas, which was then pumped through lead pipes and into the balloon. This hot hydrogen gas gives the balloon lift by two mechanisms. Hydrogen gas is lighter than atmospheric air, so that lifts the balloon upward. But also, fresh hydrogen gas is hot, so it also creates some lift, just like the hot air in a hot air balloon. So when you first put hot hydrogen gas into a balloon, it has very strong lift due to those two mechanisms. But then guess what happens? Yeah, the hydrogen gas cools and you lose that added lift. The cooler hydrogen gas will also contract, resulting in a balloon that is less inflated. So then you have to add more hot hydrogen gas, wait for it to cool, and keep repeating the process until the balloon is fully inflated. In 1783, this entire inflation process took a few days, which sounds like it might have been pretty frustrating for Jacques Charles and the Robert brothers. And it probably was. But there was a huge benefit. During this slow inflation process over several days, news about the hydrogen gas balloon spread throughout the region. By the third day of inflation, the crowds were so large that the balloon was secretly moved at night to another location in Paris. And today, it's the site of the Eiffel Tower. By the fourth day, the filling was finally done. Now don't visualize a massive balloon. This rubberized silk balloon was only about 13 feet, or 4 kilometers in diameter. Similar to the first test flight with hot air balloons, this first hydrogen gas balloon was not intended to carry a human. It was only able to lift about 19 pounds, or 9 kilograms. On August 27th, 1783, Charles and the Robert brothers launched the first hydrogen gas balloon. The enormous crowd of onlookers even included the American scientist and statesman, Benjamin Franklin. The balloon flew upwards and rode wind currents for 45 minutes. Yeah, this was not a tether test. They just launched it and let that baby fly. A lot of spectators jumped on horses so they could follow its path from the ground. The balloon landed about 13 miles or 21 kilometers away in a small village northeast of Paris. As it landed, the balloon caught the eye of a bunch of local peasants. You may think they all looked up and said, "Oh, cool. Look at that beautiful balloon landing softly in my field." But most peasants at that time had no idea what a flying balloon was. It would be like a prototype saucer-shaped disc landing in your backyard today. Yeah, so they did the same thing you would have done in 1783. They attacked it. And when I say attacked it, I mean destroyed it. And when I say destroyed it, I mean they took pitchforks and knives and went psycho nuts on that poor balloon. No worries for Charles and the Robert brothers, though. They wanted to develop a new hydrogen balloon anyway. One that would be much bigger. But why? Yeah, you guessed it. They wanted to make a hydrogen gas balloon that would be big enough to carry the first human. About 3 months later, on December 1st, 1783, Jacques Charles and the Robert brothers launched a new hydrogen balloon in Paris with two human occupants. And yes, this was going to be an untethered flight. So which untethered balloon flight with a human happened first? The one with the hot air balloon, or this one with a hydrogen gas balloon? Unfortunately, the Montgolfier brothers beat them to it by just 1 month. So this would not be the first balloon flight for a human, but it would be the first hydrogen air balloon flight for a human. Initially, the hydrogen balloon was held on ropes and led to its final launch place. Charles and one of the Robert brothers would pilot the balloon. They climbed inside a basket that hung under the large balloon. The basket was attached to a gigantic net that went over the entire balloon. But how did they control their height? Well, to go higher, they could drop sandbags out of the basket. And to go lower, they could open a valve to release hydrogen gas out of the balloon. Their hydrogen gas balloon rose to a height of about 1,800 feet, or 550 meters. Unlike hot air balloons, the pilots didn't have to spend all their time putting out fires that erupted on the balloon. Instead, these two guys spent their time much more constructively. They used a barometer and a thermometer to take atmospheric measurements during their flight. This made this the first balloon flight to provide meteorological measurements. After a total flight time of 125 minutes and a distance of 22 miles or 36 kilometers, they safely landed the balloon. Both pilots enjoyed the experience so much that they wanted to ascend again right at that moment. But the balloon had a lot less hydrogen gas at that moment and could only carry the weight of one person. It was decided that Jacques Charles would go solo. And so he did. And this time, he went up twice the height of their prior flight, which unfortunately started to hurt his ears. So he opened the release valve and landed about 3 kilometers away. These back-to-back flights were a terrific success, and it's believed that they were witnessed by about 400,000 spectators. And I'm not just talking random looky-loos. Some of these spectators actually paid for a special experience that day, which was a smart decision because that helped them pay for the construction costs of the balloon. These paying spectators received several amenities, including special access to a close-up view of the takeoff. And once again, this included Benjamin Franklin, who obviously had a keen interest in balloon flight. Someday I'll do an episode about Benji Frankie. He is definitely an interesting character. Anyway, let's finish up with some further milestones of balloon flight. The following achievements of balloon flight occurred after 1784. In January of 1785, the first balloon flew across the English Channel. 4 months later, the first aircraft disaster in history took place. A balloon crashed in a town in Ireland and initiated a fire that burned down about 100 houses. If you visit this town today, you'll see this event commemorated in their town shield. It's a phoenix rising from the ashes. In 1793, the first balloon flight in the United States occurred. The balloon launched from a prison yard in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Now, earlier, I'd mentioned that the first woman passenger in a balloon had happened in 1784. But when was the first solo woman pilot of a balloon? That happened in 1805, and her name was Sophie Blanchard. Now, you may have also been wondering, how did they control the direction of these early balloons? Well, they didn't. These early balloons often just moved in the direction of the winds and air currents. But in 1852, the first steerable balloon was flown, and it was called a dirigible, from a French word that means to direct. It had a propeller powered by a steam engine and a rigid frame that held the balloon open. So what's the difference between a dirigible and a blimp? A blimp doesn't have that rigid frame that holds the balloon open, so a blimp deflates without gas, but a dirigible doesn't. Now, in addition to dirigibles and blimps, there's a lot more history I could do about aviation and flight, and I probably will, so stay tuned. This is the end of the episode. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of Calm History. If you'd like to become a Soak Plus member and get free access for a limited time to over 50 more episodes of Calm History, along with 500 other episodes, then just use the link in the episode notes or go to soakpodcasts.com. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Calm History is part of the Airwave Media Podcast Network. Visit airwavemedia.com to enjoy more podcasts like The Constant, Underworld, and Subtext.